Hi, welcome. This is Beth Joan Shaw with Spirit of Success, and welcome to First Things First, a weekly devotional for businesswomen who desire God's guidance as we seek to honor Him with our businesses. We meet by teleconference each week on Monday morning to hear a word from the Lord and to encourage each other in prayer. As you listen, if you think of someone who would benefit from hearing this podcast, just please pass it along to them. Hey, I'm wondering, did you watch much of the Olympics the past couple of weeks? Goodness, I enjoyed watching them. How about the hockey teams, men and women? That was pretty exciting for sure. It's fun to kind of see those athletes and their families and what they've sacrificed for the opportunity to represent their country and to test themselves against the best in the world. I love learning about the athletes and just learning about the things that they've done in their lives. And I love learning about countries I couldn't pronounce and sports that I'd never even heard of. I discovered a sport, you probably saw this one, it's called ski mountaineering, I think, where the athlete is not just encouraged, but they are to ski straight uphill, it seems like, with a few obstacles in the way. And then when they get to the top of that, they stop and they take their skis off, mind you, and then they run up a set of snow-covered stairs as fast as they can, with no handrail, mind you. I thought, my goodness, that's pretty risky. I mean, one of my goals every day is to try to avoid snow-covered steps at all costs. These athletes were doing this on purpose to win a medal. I mean, what's next, for goodness sake? Skiing downhill with a pair of scissors in your hand? I mean, my goodness. And how about the curling? Did you watch any of the curling matches? Could you not watch curling? I mean, they started before the official opening ceremonies, and I checked this morning to see if they were still going, even though the closing was yesterday. No, they weren't still going, but there was a lot of curling. You couldn't avoid it. I mean, who knew we needed to know so much about curling? I did learn that the center spot is not called a bullseye, but rather it's called the button. The button, thus the saying that something is on the button when it's right on center. Ah, learn something. Initially, curling seemed like a rather quiet, dignified sport. That is until the yelling started. Oh my goodness, did you see that? The teammates yell at each other. I mean, don't just shout, they yell instructions to each other on how to sweep, to keep the stone moving. They yell, clean, clean. My husband Ron got so caught up in it that when I got the Swiffer out to sweep the kitchen floor the other day, he yelled, clean, clean. I told him he was grounded from watching curling the next day, which is too much. We did watch the USA women's curling team in the semifinals. It was the other day, and they were up against Switzerland, and the winner would qualify for the gold medal game. Well, our women's curling team is good, but oh, those Swiss gals, oh, they're good, and they're cunning. And as I watched that match progress, our U.S. gals were doing really well, but then the Swiss gals would manage a great shot and just knock our stone right out of that circle. Every time we were sitting close to the button, the Swiss would knock us right off. Oh, I thought the Swiss were supposed to be kind, neutral. Apparently no one told these cutthroats because they kept throwing their stones right into ours. As I watched, I could feel my blood pressure rising and a sense of dislike for these little Swiss nisses was beginning to overtake me. Well, on the final shot, the Swiss sent our last stone off the circle and the Swiss won, earning them the right to play for the gold medal. Oh, I was indignant. There must have been some cheating going on. Some French ice dancing judge surely was involved. This wasn't supposed to happen. I immediately ran to the kitchen cupboards and began throwing out all the Swiss Miss cocoa we had. Not in my house, you thieves. I mean, someone has to pay for this crime against humanity. It was at that point that Ron stepped in. He convinced me that I was being just a bit irrational. You don't punish perfectly good chocolate, he argued, just because we lost in curling. Well, okay, he had a point. but I'm still a little sore. And I will keep an eye on those so-called neutral Swiss in the future. I don't trust them. Well, settling the score, getting even, making someone pay, these are just some of the human responses when we have been actually hurt by someone. But as our author Max Licato asks in our study of In the Grip of Grace, just how many payments will be enough to settle a score? He writes this on page 133 of his book. How will the score be settled? He writes. How do I break the cycle? How many payments do I demand? Peter had a similar question for Jesus in Matthew 18. Peter asked Jesus, Master, how many times do I forgive a brother or sister who hurts me? Seven? Peter's worried about over-forgiving an offender. The Jewish law stipulated that the wounded forgive three times. Peter is willing to double that and throw in one more for good measure, seven. No doubt he thinks Jesus will be impressed. Jesus isn't. The master's answer still stuns us. Seven, he says, hardly. Try 70 times seven. Now, if you're pausing to multiply 70 times 7, you're missing the point. Keeping tabs on your mercy, Jesus is saying, is not being merciful. If you're calibrating your grace, you're not being gracious. There should never be a point when our grace is exhausted. Our sinful nature often does not find it easy to extend grace or to forgive someone who's hurt us. Jesus tried to teach Peter that lesson. It is difficult to extend grace to those who do not fully understand the grace that God has extended them in sending his Son to die for their sins. The Apostle Paul shared a similar message with the Roman Christians in Romans 5, starting in verse 8. Paul writes, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, he writes, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Whew, amen. Amen. Well, you know, we used to live according to the sinful nature, wicked, cruel, seeking revenge, deceitful, selfish, ungrateful, wanting to get even. But now, if we've accepted Christ, we are children of God. We live as with the Holy Spirit within us. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is within us. Because of the Spirit living within us, we think differently. We act differently. We choose differently. We respond to hurt toward us differently. We can forgive others and even extend grace, because we recognize how much God has forgiven us. He has wiped our sins away, past, present, and future. He has paid a debt we could never pay. Our author Max Licato writes this in his book, page 137 and 38. He writes, the key to forgiving others is to quit focusing on what they did to you and start focusing on what God did for you. But Max, you might say, that's not fair. Someone has to pay for what he did. I agree, says Max. Someone must pay, and someone already has. You don't understand, you might argue. This guy doesn't deserve grace. He doesn't deserve mercy. He's not worthy of forgiveness. But Max would reply, I'm not saying he is. But are you? He continues, let me be very clear. Hatred will sour your outlook and break your back. The load of bitterness is simply too heavy. Your knees will buckle under the strain and your heart will break beneath the weight. The mountain before you is steep enough without the heaviness of hatred on your back. The wisest choice, the only choice, is for you to drop the anger. You will never be called upon to give anyone more grace than God has already given you. So I guess that means we put the Swiss Miss back in the cupboard and we extend them grace. After all's fair in love and curling. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for listening, and I pray that you received a word from the Lord today that will encourage you and equip you to do your work as unto the Lord. And if you know someone who would benefit from hearing this, please pass it along to them. And if you would like to participate in our weekly live First Things First Bible Study Time, just email me for details, Beth@spiritofsuccess.com. Thank you, and God bless.